Thanks for being with us this hour on The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The Victoria and Albert Museum in London is one of the world's premier showcases of decorative arts and design. It has a permanent collection of over 2 million items. But a new exhibit of Ethiopian artifacts has reopened a familiar debate in the UK. Should Britain hold on to artifacts seized from other countries at the height of the British Empire? In this case, artifacts taken 150 years ago after a confrontation with the Emperor of Ethiopia.
When we speak about whether a country is capable of maintaining its own artifacts and historical objects, I think the fundamental question is, who owns it? Whose is it? Whose is it to decide what should be done? I think every question should begin there.
That's Mazamin Giste. She's a Fulbright scholar, essayist, and author of the novel Beneath the Lion's Gaze. When we spoke about this exhibit at the Victoria and Albert Museum, she explained the history behind this collection and why it's become the source of so much resentment between Ethiopia and the UK.
We're talking about religious manuscripts, ecclesiastical texts. We are talking about a dress that was worn by the Empress Turunesh. We are talking about both personal, deeply intimate objects, clothing, jewelry, rings, as well as religious objects. I think for most of the West, this is a little known incident, but to Ethiopia, this was a devastating loss.
Now, let's go back for just a moment. Would you give us a little bit of history and tell us about the Magdala expedition and the confrontation that took place in 1868?
Yes. In 1868, the Napier expedition under General Robert Napier came in ostensibly to rescue about three dozen hostages that were held by Theodros. But they went in with 13,000 soldiers, 8,000 auxiliary workers, thousands of pack animals. They created a railway from the sea up into Magdala, so they knew that they were going to be taking items, and they also brought with them Robert Holmes, who was a manuscripts curator from the British Museum.
Well, what happened when this massive expedition arrived in Magdala and confronted the emperor?
The emperor released the hostages, and rather than surrender to the British, he committed suicide. The British took his son, Alamayu, who was, I think, around 6 years old, maybe 7 years old at the time, and they took Alamayu, put him on a ship. Ironically, he was put on a ship along with the looted goods, and everything sailed to England. Alamayu stayed in England until his death at 18 years old, and his remains are still in England, which is another point of contention. Ethiopia has repeatedly requested that his bones be brought back.
Why was he along on that trip? Why was he with all of those pilfered items?
I say he was taken against his will. I know that at some point in England, he wanted to come back and he was not allowed. There were relatives who wrote letters to him and he'd never received those letters. His life was unhappy in England. So whether he went willingly, a six-year-old boy, whether he went willingly or not, he did want to return at some point. There are people who contend that he was on this ship as a way to save him from rivals of his father, that it was not safe. And I think that this is another instance where this history has been learned and written by those same people who took.
And in fact, trying to decide whether a six-year-old can consent is a separate question.
Absolutely.
That probably answers itself. But part of this history extends to today, because to this day, the prince's remains are in Windsor Castle, the residence of the queen. And formal requests have been made from the government of Ethiopia as recently as 2007
yes.
to get those remains back. What has the queen or the government of the United Kingdom said?
They've ignored the requests. There's been no movement on this. And, you know, of everything, of all the items that were taken, of everything that was put on that ship, the remains of Prince Alamayu touches a very strong chord with Ethiopia. This was in many ways a kind of forced migration, and it's time to return him back to his home.
Maza, there's a counter argument, and I know you've heard it. Maybe it doesn't apply to the remains of Prince Alamayu, but to the artifacts that are in the Victoria Albert Museum and other places. And that argument is they're just safer in England than they would be in Ethiopia. They're guarded, they're under curators. What do you say to that argument for these artifacts remaining in England?
I think that argument is condescending. I think it's racist. I think it's patronizing. And I think it comes from a deep ignorance about Ethiopia's capabilities, about the capabilities of countries that are not Western to take care of their own items. For a number of years, Ethiopia has kept safely, securely, well-preserved the bones of Lucy, one of the earliest hominids, the bones that helped the world understand the origins of mankind, of humans. The country, the scientists, the curators, the archaeologists are quite capable of this. This is old rhetoric, but unfortunately, this is rhetoric that still seems to stand.
You know, Maza, it's easy to imagine you and I having this conversation 75 years ago and sort of being laughed out of the room because the colonial era was still alive and well for the UK, right? The UK's colonial era is over, and it's hard to imagine, I have to say, a good argument today for not returning these items.
I completely agree with you on that. I think that from the perspective of the V&A Museum, these items add an intrinsic value to the museum. It adds what they call, and I quote, a cosmopolitanism. I find that, again, the question for me becomes, who owns this? The V&A Museum has said that because these items are valuable to them and they understand the complicated history behind them, they are willing to loan on a long-term basis these items to Ethiopia. That is not an appropriate response. It's not an appropriate solution. Who has the right to lend, to borrow, to claim, to own? Ethiopia should not borrow its own items.
You know, Maza, I was in London recently for a brief spell. I went to the Tower of London, and I got the chance to see the crown jewels. Beautiful, priceless, gorgeous crowns and diamonds and scepters. I wonder if the Queen would be willing to have them housed in Addis Ababa for the next 200 years.
Mm-hmm. And imagine if those crown jewels were stolen by any other country, and then that country, 100 years later, said, well, we'll let you borrow it for a certain amount of time.
Maza Mengistie is a Fulbright scholar, essayist, and author of the novel Beneath the Lion's Gaze. She's been writing about the Makdala items in the Victoria and Albert Museum. Maza, thank you.
Thank you.